Hello, and welcome to The On-Call Room.
A Grey's Anatomy podcast.
I'm Abby.
I'm Bree.
And it's a beautiful day to podcast. It's actually a very fucking rainy day,
It's a folks. Shitty day to podcast.
But it's a beautiful day to podcast. So if this is your first time listening, we are a Grey's Anatomy deep diving episode, deep diving podcast that goes through all the episodes of Grey's Anatomy. We are currently on season 15, episode 13, 14, and 15. So if you have not watched the entirety of Grey's Anatomy, currently what, season 19, episode 2?
Yes.
Then you should go back and watch it all first because we do spoil some things and we don't want to, you know, ruin your day.
Yeah. I will say we probably won't talk about season 19 in this episode because we are talking about them behind the paywall. So if you want to support the podcast, you can head over to patreon.com/theoncallroom and be a intern, resident, or attending. If you pledge to be a $10 attending, currently during season 19, we're putting out bonus reaction episodes. We did the first one for free, put that out to everyone. So if you are up to date on the show, you can go back and listen to that, hear what we have to say. If you're into it, become a $10 patron.
Yeah. We also tonight, which it'll be too late by the time you hear this, but another really cool benefit of our Patreon is our Zoom hangouts that we do. Tonight we have one with our $10 patrons and we haven't had one in a while. So I'm very excited for that. It's a really cool community. If you enjoy the people in the Facebook group, you'll enjoy them even more in real life with a nice digital boundary. If you're afraid of meeting new people, Bree and I are always nervous and then we always walk away like having a great time. So that's another really, really great way to support us and get something fun out of it. And
Absolutely. Lastly,
you can also leave a review on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you listen. 5 scalpels, please. It helps other people find the podcast and decide to hit play. Post-op. We want to talk about post-op.
So post-op is when we call time of death at the end of the episode for 5 to 7 to 10 minutes after, depending on, we usually have a topic and then we kind of stray from it. So
wait, last week's was a good one. I feel like we went, I don't even remember what it was anymore, but I remember we were like, oh, people are glad they're paying for this.
Yeah, exactly. So we start with a topic and sometimes we ramble on about other stuff. But tonight's topic is we're talking about Maggie and her patient, Kimberly Thompson from med school. And you have to be a $10 attending in order to receive that. And you have to listen to it in the Patreon feed.
Yes, which you can, if you haven't done that yet, I'm pretty sure I pinned this to the top of our Patreon page, but there is a place to, you can basically put that feed into your Spotify, into your Apple podcast, wherever you listen, so that those podcasts just show up in your regular podcast app. So if you are like, don't like the Patreon app, which it's a pretty good app, it works really well. Mm-hmm. You can listen through there. So there's lots of fun ways for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There we have it.
There we have it.
Thanks for listening. I hope you all have a great night.
Bye. I was telling Bree today, I took 200 steps max. I woke up at 8 to a knock on the door. This actually made me laugh. So our kitchen renovation is like practically done. Building inspector came this morning, which like we didn't know he was coming. So we were both sleeping and we were like, I was like, someone's at the door. And we like literally like all like, I actually felt good that like, should an emergency happen, Jake does have the ability to like literally pop out of bed.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'll go. Like, you look like a crazy person right now. Like, I at least had sweatpants or whatever. And so went to the door and it was like a building inspector. He basically like went in our kitchen and was like, so do you guys like it? Like, is it, you happy with everything? Like how it went? And I was like, you're like, yeah, it's really great. They were great. He's like, yeah. Were they like good to work with? And I was like, yep. He's like, okay, can I see the bathroom? And he's like, looks a little bit bigger. Nice. And they like walked out. That was...
Isn't that hilarious?
Meanwhile, what? Like our HVAC inspector is, we failed it 3 times because he's having a bad day, said our HVAC guy. Like, he's like, he hates me and he's having a bad day and he's taking it out on your house, which is fine because I don't have to deal with it. But yeah, inspectors are weird. What a weird job.
Yeah. So when we were getting ready for the wedding and we were doing a bunch of like home renos and yard things. I don't know if you remember, but John had to dig a trench in our backyard to bury wire that was going from our house to our garage. It was like this, and it needed to be done. And he was so fucking nervous about it because it had to be a certain, because we're burying wire, like wire. It had to be a certain like amount deep and wide and whatever. And it was so, there was all these roots and he was just awful. I remember he's just so panicked for this guy to come out from the city, city inspector. And literally the guy came out and he was like, that's a pretty nice trench. And that was, Yeah, that was it. And John was like, do you want to like measure it? And he's like, no, I think that looks pretty good.
This guy didn't even open a cabinet. He literally like, I didn't know he was coming. So there's shit everywhere. Like, I don't even know what he was looking at.
Yeah. He was just, it was really was like, just, it was the company hired him to come and be like, did you like working with us?
It was like an anonymous review.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyways, that was how I started my day. My point was that from that point on, I got into like comfies, which I'm still wearing.
Mm-hmm.
I sat on my computer desk and Jake even literally brought me lunch. So I got up to pee twice, I think. Mm-hmm. And I did wash my face and brush my teeth. But other than that, like I didn't move and I edited a lot. I edited a lot of things. So, but like, it feels like I told Bria, I was like, I feel like I'm having an unproductive day, but I've actually knocked off like a lot of work, like stuff, but because I didn't move at all. I didn't even go outside till I came here. It feels like I didn't do anything.
Maybe after this, you'll feel a little bit more productive because you left the house.
Yeah, drink some wine, hung out with you.
Yeah, doing something else. I know that feeling. I had a similar day where I just, you know, I slept in a little later than I like had wanted to, but I was like, it's raining and it's cold. And I like, I just can't with the day. So got up, had coffee, and started on my schoolwork. And I had one of those mornings where I read the same chapter like 12 times because I was like, what am I reading? Yeah. Like, I don't have any idea what I'm reading. I don't think it helped that I had Gilmore Girls playing in the background. I was like, I can't be in quiet. I need Gilmore. And so I found myself just staring at the TV a couple times. And I was like, this is not.
You also did that with Grey's.
Yeah.
So,
So I finally watched the second episode of season 19. We said we weren't going to talk about it. And I'm literally not because I watched it twice. I watched it the other night. I think it was actually last night. And I was doing stuff on my computer, missed the whole episode. Like it ended and I was like, what the fuck happened? And so today, while I was drinking my coffee, I was like, actually, I think it was later in the day. I had finished some schoolwork and I was like, I'm going to eat lunch and like take a break. Did the same thing. I don't know if I was on my phone or what. The episode ended and I was like, what the fuck happened?
Probably on TikTok, probably just looking at things.
So anyway, I got to rewatch it for a third time so we can maybe podcast about it.
Yeah, same. I have not watched it yet, but I have almost caught up on Handmaid's Tale. And I won't say anything, but okay, so—
Wait, you're on what episode? I'm sorry.
I'm almost caught up of Handmaid's Tale, like wherever it's at. I think I just watched episode 5 or 6. Mm-hmm. So also, and I won't say any spoilers here, listeners, I am watching House of the Dragon and I am obsessed. I did not get to watch Game of Thrones as it was coming out until the last 2 seasons because I just didn't like know that it was a thing. I didn't have HBO. So this is what I was talking to Jake about last night. Like, you know how there's like, and I say nerd in a loving way. Like I love nerds. If you look at my podcast, like I'm a nerd. So there's like the nerd culture that goes to cons, like Comic-Con, like mm-hmm. Game of Thrones, all of those. There's like a Harry Potter con, all those things. And like has, you know, like all of the like little pop figurines. I have mm-hmm. like some Harry Potter ones. And like has that as like an aesthetic. Like they like to have the thing they love physically around them.
Right.
I am just not that way. Like I care too much about like what my house looks like in a way in my brain, how I want it. So like I have that like on a shelf and I have them in like little places, but not like all over. So I feel like I don't come across as that person, but I am that person I don't wear like apparel, but I'm wearing a Hufflepuff sweatshirt as I speak. Okay, I forgot. Okay, but what I will say is
sure.
House of the Dragon is my football. Like, so like I watch it on Sundays and then there's immediately 2 podcasts I listen to. Either I start listening to them that night or like today I listen to them both. They get screeners.
Okay. Yeah.
So, and then there is one that comes out on Wednesdays, which is called House of R. If you are a nerd and you love Mallory Rubin like I do, she just got a fucking feature in the New York Times. She's like a brilliant podcaster, nerd, genius woman. Anyways, she has one on Wednesdays. It was 3.5 hours long last episode. So I listened to them talk about an hour long episode for 3.5 hours. Like I am fully in the lore. I am like,
well, I would say people were one of those podcasts.
Right. So that's what
people listen to us talk for 2 hours about episodes of Grey's.
But I do feel like we are less educated. Like we're giving our opinions. We're not like,
sure.
we're always like, what was your name again? Like, these people are like, in the Baratheon, you know, they like know the history.
Yeah.
Which I feel good about us. I don't want to change how we're doing it. But I just like, Jake kept looking at me and he was like, you are a nerd. I was like, yeah. Like, did you not know? Like I love fantasy so much.
That's what it comes down to, ladies and gentlemen. She loves fantasy.
I think I'm just like coming to terms with it and like really realizing that like it wasn't just like when I grew up, it wasn't just a Harry Potter thing. Like that was that thing. But I actually think I just really love that whole, like.
Yeah, you like that genre of story.
I need to go to a con, like a comic con. I need to go to one of those things and watch a panel. Well, I got ready for my wedding. I watched an hour long panel that they did like before the season started. Like, what am I doing? Like what? Who am I?
Also, yeah, it is. You also like to find a thing
and go
as deep as you possibly can into it.
Yeah.
And know every little thing about it. I think that's part of your personality too. And that's great. And I think that's very like nerdy too.
Yeah. Like I just really love it. And it's like been really fun as an adult, like realizing about myself and then like leaning into it.
Yeah. That's
so
great.
I'm just really into House of Dragon, y'all. I mean, just, wow.
Yeah,
talk about a nerd. George R. R. Martin is a nerd.
Yeah.
You see his little beret he wears too? Love it. He's a weirdo.
I'm sorry I'm not quite there with you yet.
It's okay.
We'll get there. I'm excited because we now have banked up enough episodes to like binge on a day.
It's a lot to binge.
But I feel like John and I could really like use a day on the couch, like the two of us binging like a season.
That'll
or something.
Be great. Yeah. I'm jealous for you because I am like obsessed.
We need to do that. There's also like other shows we've not been very good at. Like we started Severance and then we never finished it. And I really wanted to, but then every time I've talked about this on the podcast, every time we sit down, we watch Top Chef. I'm like, should we watch House of the Dragon? Should we watch Severance? Should we?
He's is like, it because you just want to like check out? Like,
I think that's part of it. Is it's just really easy television at the end of a hard day to be like, oh, let's watch these people cook.
Right. right.
And well, they're great.
I feel like you can have conversation while that's going on.
Yes.
You cannot in one of those shows.
Exactly.
Like eight things.
Yeah. Like we can.
Jake said one word and I was like, shut up.
Don't you speak, sir. Yeah.
I haven't watched. Also, maybe you should just finish. How many seasons are you?
Oh, no. We're going to. We're almost done with all of Top Chef.
Okay. So that'll be helpful.
Yeah.
But like next on my list is not fantasy. But I've not watched Succession.
Oh my God.
I need to know the next season has not been announced or anything.
I think they're filming it right now.
Okay. So I feel like what's good is like once I have a date for that, I'm probably going to like go in so I can finish and then start the new one with everyone else.
And I feel like there are three seasons and there's not a ton of it. I feel like you could binge it really fast.
For sure. So that is on my list. That and Rings of Power, the like Lord of the Rings one, because my favorite podcast, House of R, they do a deep dive of that. So even though I'm not a Lord of the Rings expert at all.
Yeah.
I think by listening to them, I may become one.
Perfect.
And it might be frightening for all of us.
It really might be something. Oh God, you all. When we're done with this podcast, Abby's just going to have like a long monologue podcast of all of her favorite things.
I want Mallory Rubin's job. She's so brilliant. I'm so glad she got a feature in the New York Times.
I don't know who this is.
She's just like, she is an expert on all of these things and she's a podcaster and she's just so funny. And like I have never listened to someone who I feel like is so truly themselves. Mm. Like just like.
You don't feel that way about me.
Well, I don't listen to you. We converse.
Okay, sure.
But yeah, no, I
but what if I did
I
like
know.
A solo?
I still feel like, who are we?
I feel very much me.
I don't know who I am. My therapist and I are trying to figure that out. Anyways, so that got dark.
Anyway, therapy, everyone.
Sponsored by
therapy.
Yeah. So, okay. Anyways, do you have anything else to report?
No.
Okay.
One thing. Mm-hmm. I made that tiramisu. There's a piece of it in the fridge for you. And it turned out really good.
Oh my gosh. This is the best news you've given me.
Yeah. I made a gluten-free tiramisu. I never made that
what
in my
part
life.
Is glutinous in tiramisu? The crust?
The lady fingers, yeah.
Oh, the lady. Okay, yeah.
So I didn't make those. I did buy, able to order them. So, I mean, maybe someday
but
I'll try.
But everything else is like normal then.
Yeah, everything else is normal. So I'll be interested to see what you think because you love tiramisu.
Love tiramisu.
The one thing about it is like, it's not a ton of layers. This, and so I'm like, maybe next time I do more layers.
Oh, did you do the thin, like the?
Yeah. Okay, so it's cookie, like cream.
Right.
Cookie cream.
Right. Right.
That's
Did you get the whatever they dust on top?
Yeah, cocoa powder.
Oh.
Yeah, so it's waiting for you.
I am like Pavlov's dogs or whatever. Like, I'm salivating thinking about this.
I'm excited for you to try it.
Oh, me too. Okay, when you read the first monologue, I'm going to fill my wine up. Or just, because I had a lot of ice and I didn't. You're like, you fucking drank that already?
No, I don't care. Okay, so we are in season 15. Oh, but I will say, when you get it, it's running low, the boxes. So you might have to take the bag out of the box.
Slap the bag.
Just saying. So
you just hear a slap in the background. That's just me chugging wine. Did you ever do that game? I never did.
I think I did it like, I've
taken a chug out of a Franzia bag for sure, but I've never like.
And let me say, this isn't Franzia. This is Kirkland, guys.
So, do you think the college kids are drinking Kirkland now?
They don't have memberships to Costco. Are you fucking?
But their parents
do. But you can buy alcohol without having a Costco membership.
I just like, okay, the game slap the bag. I definitely have taken a big drink directly out of a bag of Franzia. But the game to me is a death wish. Don't you have to finish the bag?
No, you just slap it and then you pass it.
No, but I think it's like a race and you do it with like a team.
We're going to Google this.
I'm pretty sure.
How do you play?
Also, there's like that game Ride the Bus.
So bad.
Do you remember that one?
The rules of the game are fairly straightforward. One player holds the bag, calls out someone else to slap the bag, which they do. And then you chug copious amounts of wine. That person becomes the keeper of the bag. That's
that person then dies the next morning. Yeah. A headache from Franzia is...
Oh, that's like inner shakes, man.
Although I had that after Annie's bachelorette and we went to a winery, so I don't know.
Yeah, you really struggled after that bachelorette party.
I didn't think I was going to make it home.
Puke on the side of the road.
I wouldn't have. I swallowed it. I just kept going. Anyways.
Physically shaking.
You know when you're breathing... Listeners, I'm not proud of this. This does not happen often, but when you're breathing like... I'm breathing shaking. Out of like a small hole in my mouth. Like when you have to like, it's almost like you need a straw.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's what I was doing.
It was a tough.
I did walk in and my husband gave me an IV though, which was a blessing that I am very privileged to have.
Yes.
So anyways.
Yeah.
It was probably like, I keep thinking like, how old is this bag, Jake? It's probably like expired saline. I don't know if that can happen.
Do they expire?
I don't know. Just filling me with mold.
Maybe that's why you
made it worse. Okay. This episode, or we're doing season 15, episode 13, 14, and 15. I walk the line. Isn't that a Johnny Cash?
Yeah.
I want a new drug and we didn't start the fire.
Okay. So the first monologue, there goes Abby. There's an invisible line in the OR. You scrub, you gown, you glove, and you approach the sterile field. It's an important boundary. It's there to protect the patient and you. Without the line, about a million things.
I almost fell. Oh,
shit.
He's trying to kill me.
Oh, the way your foot flicked up. Oh, man. Abby tripped.
Her wire to her computer is like an extension cord. And I didn't see it.
You're just trying to be discreet about it all. And then in the middle of it, tripped. Well, we are not cutting that. That is really funny. Okay. So funny that something so important is completely invisible. There's a reason so many babies' first word is no. It's because it's the word they hear the most. From the second we're born, we want to cross the line, push the boundaries, test the limits. Okay, I got it. But then we grow up and learn that all rules are bad. No, not all rules are bad. Some boundaries protect us. Some lines keep us safe. The nice thing about being an adult is we can choose for ourselves. We can screw the rules or we can make our own. Meredith Grey.
Someday we'll be professional. Okay. Pharmaceuticals are designed. I just went into that so professional. Ooh, I was like embarrassed for myself, you know, like when I act. Okay. Pharmaceuticals are designed to mimic the body's natural. I can't do this. This is.
Oh, shit. Okay. We got to breathe through a straw.
Oh, no. I feel like I'm going to have to pause and take a break. Okay. Just don't look at me.
I wasn't looking. I won't.
Do you have an errand to run?
Can you go? Let me go trip over a cord.
Pharmaceuticals are designed to mimic the body's natural brain chemicals. The ones that make you feel good, make you feel better, make you feel unstoppable. Oh, no. It's like, I can do it. I'm crying.
Okay. If you have to popcorn, it's cool.
You won't be able to do it either. They make it in a lab and put it in a pill for pain relief, giving you the high your body creates naturally every time you do something you love. They call it a high for a reason, because the flip side is really low. The chemical version isn't worth what comes after, but the dopamine rush from a job well done... That's free. And it's one of the very best parts of being alive. Meredith Grey.
Okay.
Oh. I need feedback from our listeners. Like, do you fast forward through this part?
I hope they don't, because this is gold.
It's our best content.
It's our best content. Okay. In 1967. All right. In 1967. Surgeons in South Africa performed the first successful heart transplant. The following year, there were 100 heart transplants worldwide.
The problem was the patients kept dying. So the following year, transplants fell to 18. Kind of seems like people were a little too eager to celebrate. Popcorn.
Surgeons are reluctant to celebrate. Even in success, we obsess over what could have been better. And don't get me wrong, that self-reflection is important. We only get better when we admit our shortcomings. That's the name of Chris's podcast. Acknowledge our limits. But there are so many moments along the way to celebrate. Some of those moments are bigger than others, and you really don't want to miss those moments. Because believe me when I say the bad times are going to find you all on their own, Meredith Grey.
Ooh, nice job. All right.
Holy shit, we still have to read her odds.
I don't know. Why'd you even say that?
Okay, shotgun workup.
Shotgun workup. Kimberly Thompson, bicuspid aortic valve, thoracic aortic aneurysm.
Colin Anderson, gunshot wound, broken metacarpals.
Lucille Reed, head lax, stenosis, aneurysm.
Betty Nelson, drug overdose, hypertension, aortic dissection.
I don't know why Linus wasn't listed. There was, I want to say, for that episode, the overdosing episode, there was like 8 patients on this, like the thing that we picked this information up from, but none of them had names.
Oh, okay.
So I didn't write them. Okay, rounds. Meredith and Maggie finally talk about Meredith and DeLuca being a possibility, and thankfully, Maggie has no problem with it. She says that it's surprising, but she's got Meredith's back. Meredith pages DeLuca into her office at the end of the day to tell him that she's ready to go out on a date with him, but she's driving because she's got 3 kids and she will not get on the back of a motorcycle. DeLuca then assists Meredith on a hospital-winning record of a 24-plus-hour surgery. Meredith falls asleep on a gurney in the hallway, and DeLuca wheels her into an on-call room to get some well-deserved rest.
Bailey sees Karev succeeding as the chief, and it makes her question her sabbatical. She goes into his office at the end of the day and tells him that she's ready to come back as chief and that she thanks him for his help. Alex surprises her by telling Bailey that he signed a 6-month contract and he will be serving the entire 6 months. He likes the job and he likes the extra money. Bailey is upset, and as she walks out of the office, she says that she didn't even think that he would make it through his intern year. Alex wonders what that means by that, and then before leaving, she adds, I'm trying to say I'm proud of you, Krav.
Betty, aka Brittany's parents, which I just want to preface, I keep calling her Betty in the rest of this round. So
yeah, and also, I'm just, in all my notes, I call her Betty, so...
We'll just stick with that for us. Her parents arrive at the hospital because the rehab center provided Amelia's name as a form of contact. Betty has run away from rehab and the parents are trying to figure out what has happened. Amelia realizes that they don't know about Leo, so she tells them and she takes them down to the daycare to meet him. Amelia tries to empathize with the mom and tells her about her own addiction and hopes that it will help Betty's mom understand that her daughter is still in there and has the opportunity to get better. Instead, it only fuels their desire to take Leo back with them. They tell Amelia and Owen that they've got a crib in their hotel room and they get into a fight with Owen, who threatens legal action if they try and steal Leo. At first, it appears that Owen is sticking up for Amelia, but then he yells at her for handing Betty's parents the one thing that they can use against him, her past with addiction. Amelia reminds Owen that he's not Leo's parent and that he signed up to be a foster parent. As a massive trauma of many overdoses come into the hospital, Betty and her boyfriend Linus are 2 of the patients. Owen begins working on Betty, who passes out, while Richard calls Amelia to tell her what happened. Amelia, Leo, and Betty's parents come into the hospital and have to sit in the waiting room together while an extensive surgery is done to save Betty's life. Teddy performs the surgery, and even though it is a near impossible task, she saves his life. Or her life, I'm sorry. Unfortunately, at the same time, Betty's boyfriend Linus dies after locking himself in a bathroom. Amelia encourages Betty's parents that they need to tell her the truth because it could be the thing that makes her choose to live.
Teddy works with an interesting patient who has a husband and a very close best friend. It opens her eyes to realize that sometimes there can be an intense love with someone, but it can stay a friendship. She realizes that she does love Owen, but she wants to remain friends with him, and this inspires her to meet Tom at his hotel room and admit that she wants something more with him.
Maggie and Jackson were planning on going camping over the weekend, but because of a massive overdose at the hospital, they stayed at the hospital to help. Maggie is very unsure and not a fan of the idea of going off the grid camping, and when she tries to tell Jackson she needs to stay at the hospital because of Amelia, he thinks it's because she doesn't want to go outside. Jackson starts talking to her about the beauty of nature, being outdoors, and of having too many material things. He's giving the speech in front of a man who is houseless and who lives outside at a park. Jackson tries to get this man into a shelter, but they are full, so he gives him all of his camping gear instead.
Jackson is throwing Catherine a party at his house, and it causes mayhem. Catherine doesn't even want to attend her own party, so she pulls Bailey into her private limo where they drink together, and Catherine encourages Bailey to spend the well-earned money she's made on her fancy new medical device. Amelia arrives with Owen after Leo and Betty both leave the house, and Owen can't stop staring at Tom and Teddy. Amelia approaches Owen about this and says that she's questioning his feelings for her. Owen gets mad at Teddy and tells her that he does not want Tom in his daughter's life and then accuses Tom of not being a father. Tom punches Owen, and before Owen can punch him back, Teddy steps in between them. Meredith and DeLuca are just trying to find some space to be alone together, and while making out in the guest room, Richard walks in on them. Meanwhile, Maggie is fuming over an article written by her med school nemesis that seems to completely ignore the fact that Maggie saved her life. And lastly, Alex's mom shows up at the hospital and Joe brings her to the party. She starts going on about a fire and smoke, and Alex is afraid she's having a psychotic break when smoke starts coming through the door and they realize there's actually a fire in the penthouse. Everyone evacuates and the party ends. When Owen returns home, he finds Amelia, who is there with Betty's parents, who have decided that they want to focus on Betty and give Leo back to Owen. Meredith and DeLuca arrive at DeLuca's to find that his dad has arrived from Italy. Catherine, Richard, Jackson, and Maggie pile into Catherine's limo and start drinking, and Catherine tells them that after every cancer scan, whether good or bad, she wants to celebrate this way. I fucking crushed that.
That was
round.
Good. I was glad my writing was decent enough for you to make sense of it.
Yeah, that was great. First notes.
Mine is that DeLuca is buying Mare a coffee, but she has not gone on a date with him yet.
Interesting. I said Mare has to speak to Maggie first before she will go on a date with DeLuca.
Which I feel like she learned from the Riggs situation.
Yes, I think it's important that she honor her sisters and she talked to Maggie. But it is, well, we're going to talk about the Kiki thing.
Yeah. Do you think that Meredith is like also procrastinating, like using this as a thing? Or do you really think like she just wants to get her sister's permission?
I think she really just wants to get her sister's permission because she does keep trying to come up to Maggie throughout the episode. And like, are you ready to talk now? Are you ready? Like, are you?
I felt bad for her when like Maggie was like, what? Like what literally hadn't been paying attention at all.
Yeah.
Which we'll talk about that part in post-op. But okay, let's talk about Mare and DeLuca.
Yeah.
I felt better about them.
Okay, good. Tell me why.
I thought the reaction when they're two things. The reaction when they're making out and Richard walks in and lingers, let us say. He does not just walk in and walk out. But like they're
so funny.
Laughing and her like kind of like hitting it, you know, like that was really funny to me. And just like their demeanor together was really good and like really believable. And then also when he wheels, like when he's doing surgery with her and when he like puts her gurney into the room to let her sleep.
Yeah. The one thing, this has nothing to do with them being cute together, but it drove me crazy. I thought it was so sweet how he wheeled her in there. That kiss on the forehead was adorable, but he didn't unfold the fucking blanket. If you notice, like it was covering half her body and it was a big blanket and her shoes were sticking out. And I'm like, take off her shoes and like get her cozy. Like it was such a boy thing to just like kind of throw a blanket on someone. It made me really mad. But when he kissed her forehead, I was like, that's precious.
It's like nice to think about this future that if you hear anything, guys, John is coming home.
He's just coming home. You know, this has been a shit of an episode, so why don't we just
You're fine, John. We're telling the listeners you're walking in.
You're walking in. It's fine.
I already tripped over a cord.
it's fine.
So the other thing about the two of them, I was glad. I mean, he had no way around it, but I feel like him quickly introducing her to his dad, you know, I don't know. Like there was just something like they feel very familiar with each other.
Oh, yeah. Well, and that was interesting. So clearly Karina was trying to get a hold of DeLuca right. to like tell, but I agree with you that he wasn't like trying to hide that from Meredith. He immediately yeah. is like, this is my father. But also what else do you do in that situation?
Yeah, no, there was no other choice, I guess. But I don't know, something about them felt a little bit more, I still think that the DeLuca that comes in the beginning when he first comes on the show is very different than this DeLuca. And I don't know where he made that jump.
I think he started to make the jump when he became a more confident surgeon.
Okay.
Like those episodes where he's like, Richard's like, you got to teach though. Like he's starting to feel more confident in his job. And I
that's
think,
rubbing off.
I think that transfers to him being more confident and going for someone like Meredith.
Okay. That checks out. I see that. I just wish it had I think it really got screwed a little by the girlfriend that he had. Like they were going to yeah. focus on that and then because there's no mention of her anymore and they were lovers.
Yeah. I did think it was so Meredith is okay. My question is, do we want to talk about the dinner episode as a whole or should I bring in the Meredith and DeLuca thing?
We can talk about it now. Like, okay. As it comes into things.
But when it's very clear that she doesn't want people to know. Oh, we also didn't talk about her talking to Alex.
Oh, that was so cute.
Yeah.
He's like, are you talking to me as chief or as a friend?
Yeah. And so he's like, as chief, I mean, you have to tell HR. And yeah. as a friend, like, congratulations. I hope it goes well for you.
Yeah. I like when she's like, well, you put him in the hospital. You know, like she says something like, oh, he's like, well, you were mean to Joe. She's like, yeah, well, you put him in a hospital. Like, yeah. you know what I mean? Like I forgot that happened.
That whole thing happened. So, but what I love is like, Meredith is very much like, I don't want people like to kind of know that we're dating quite yet and whatever. So they're going to this party with all of their different people, all the staff is going to yeah. be there. And so, I just really loved that he stopped and he paused her before she went in and he kissed her. And he was yeah. like, now I'm ready to go in.
That was like a good reminder. I feel like there's memories of like being at, I don't go to house parties anymore, but like at college parties. And I'd be so insecure if like Jake left
yeah.
or like, you know, I'd be like, oh my God. But like that, like kiss before is like a, we are team.
Yeah. Like, we're going to get through this.
Yeah. Thought that was really great.
Yeah.
I don't think he's endgame for, obviously he's not, but even if I'd been watching this, like I don't think they're like a perfect match, but no. It's like, it's a fun way for her to like get back out there.
Yeah, totally agree.
One last thing, sorry.
No,
the more I think
fine.
About it too, like her relationship with Riggs, while I do think it was like a good match, I do think it was very based around sadness a little bit. Like it was her first love after Derek, like he had lost someone, like their whole thing was like very like, deep and whatever. And this just feels fun.
Yeah.
So
I agree. Like they're pulling each other. He's pulling her into a guest room and making out with her and stuff. Like, yeah.
With that. I remember watching this episode live because we knew there's a fire because it starts
yeah.
with that. And there's all those times that you think like a fire is going to start. Yeah. Like when they're making out and it zooms in on the fireplace.
Yeah. And when like the candle kind of falls over yes. in the very beginning of the episode. In the yarn. Yep. I think those are the biggest ones.
I also really want a fireplace in my bedroom.
Oh my God. I literally wrote that. I was like, I would love to have
every
a fireplace.
Every fantasy novel, I feel like because they live
always.
In the olden days.
Yeah.
And
I was even going to bring that up to John. I was like, when we renovate the attic, let's put a fireplace up there.
Oh, yeah.
Because we already have a fireplace.
I think I want a gas fireplace.
Well, but we could put like the insert
yes,
in there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I want one. I've photographed one family that had that in their master bedroom and it's like amazing.
Yeah. Oh, that's what I want.
Yeah.
Okay. Who should we talk about next? Maybe let's just talk about this Betty thing.
Yeah. That was a crazy episode. Clearly whatever, like, so she did meth.
Yes.
But clearly it was laced with something. All of these people were overdosing. Which I think is like a very, I am not well versed enough in this to like be speaking on this, but I do know, especially like fentanyl,
yeah.
like it can be laced with all sorts of shit these days. So like, don't do that.
Yeah. I tried to like look up in this episode if this was based on like something because it did feel, I don't know. Again, I don't know much about this, but I'm like, I wondered like, are there like, nights in an ER where people keep seeing a bunch of people coming in from overdoses.
From like the same
batch of something. And I couldn't find anything.
Yeah.
So I think even if it hasn't happened in that exact way, they're obviously speaking to like the opioid crisis.
Yeah. What felt crazy though is like 50 plus in one day at one hospital.
Yeah.
But maybe it happens. I have no idea. I mean, I do know from like Jake's work that like overdoses are very common. Like that's often what they're going to.
Yeah.
But yeah. So anyways, I think you're right. I think this was like an attempt to bring something to light like they do. And it was perfect because Betty is a character that we like, I don't mean to be mean when I say slightly care about. I'm like care about her, but like,
yeah.
She's like a character in the show. I was really touched by Amelia's response.
Mm.
I feel like that breakdown she has in front of Link was interesting because I was like, oh, they're going to end up together for a while. She's being super vulnerable in front of him, but I don't think it was because she felt safe with him. I think it was just like he happened to be there when she was like feeling these feelings.
Yeah.
He also didn't handle it very well.
Yeah, I was going to say it was really interesting to watch. Well, because I feel like him and Amelia have not had much interaction.
Not at all. Yeah.
And so I kind of try and put myself in that position. I feel like I would have handled it better than Link. But I mean, there's also the dynamic of him being like a man and her being a woman. You know what I mean?
Right.
But it was so interesting to watch him like kind of put his hand out and think about like placing it on her shoulder or her back, but like not like comforting her. And then, yeah, it's interesting to think that they end up together.
Yeah, for a while. It was really weird. Or it was just really, I was going to say, I think she was due for a good like cry about all of this, especially with like the statements Owen's been making and whatever. Like I felt very team Amelia this entire three episodes.
Yeah.
She might win my Catherine Fox because I feel like the things she was standing up for herself for were like so like validated and just like, I don't know.
Yeah. And through it all, she stayed sober.
Yes. And that she also, I felt like what was great. I know we were a little worried, like, why is she being so motherly to Betty? Mm-hmm. But I do feel like she was in this moment advocating for Betty to be with her parents.
100%. And so I want to talk about the Owen and the foster care thing. But before I want to stick with Betty. So then Betty ends up losing. Well, okay. Back it up. Betty ends up having to go into surgery and Teddy's like, I'm going to do it.
I loved that moment.
And then Maggie gets there and Maggie's like, you know, like I can scrub in. And I love that Teddy was like, I need to be the one to do this because like I can, she pretty much said like, I don't think she's going to live and Amelia's going to need her sister.
And like, I'd rather have her be mad at me than at you. Yeah. I thought that was, that made me love Teddy so much.
Yeah.
Like that was such a selfless, I think I've been shitting on like Teddy when she came back, feeling like she's not the same Teddy. And there are aspects of that. I think it's because she's not teaching. But like that to me was really like solid. Love that moment.
Yeah, I thought that was a great moment. And then Betty ends up making it through the surgery. Maggie at this point has grabbed Meredith, who's doing this like 24 plus hour surgery and was like, we need to go be there for Amelia.
So
and then they go and like Teddy and Amelia are hugging. And it's like, oh, it looks like it all turned out. And you turn around and Meredith's sleeping on the wall. I thought that was great.
Yeah, that was great. The way Amelia hugged Teddy was really special. And I also like, I remember I've foreshadowed or said, like they end up being friends and Teddy ends up being with her when Amelia's like giving birth and like, or no, or vice versa. Amelia's with Teddy when Teddy's about to give birth.
Yeah.
So like, I think they're like that her successfully saving Betty's life was like really huge.
Yeah. I also think it was really important when Betty's father didn't want to tell Betty about the loss of her boyfriend.
Yes.
And Amelia, I don't have the whole thing, but it says you can't protect her from this pain she's going to feel, but you can hope that this is her bottom. I hope she decides to live. Like, and Amelia talks about Ryan, her fiance who
it
died.
It mirrors her whole experience.
Yes.
Like except her baby lived and
yeah. And she's like, and I chose to live after Ryan. And so hopefully she chooses to live. And I thought that was a really important point that like we needed Amelia there to say that to the father. Like the parents wouldn't have made that choice without her. I don't think.
Total side note, the mom has gray hair.
Do you know who that is?
Who is it?
That's Jennifer Grey from Dirty Dancing. That's baby.
Oh my God. Okay, thank you. I like knew her face, but could not place it. Okay, well, no shit. She's had beautiful hair for her whole life.
Her whole entire life,
I would kill to have curly bangs.
I know. God. She's fabulous.
Anyway, so I feel like too, I appreciated that also I'm just still going with Betty. You know, she like leaves initially and Amelia's like, she didn't say goodbye. She didn't say goodbye. And that was really sad. And then later at the end, when they come back with Leo, I love that Amelia says to her, like, are you sure? Like, mm-hmm. You know, and I liked too that Betty's just like, I want to be a kid. Like, I don't want to deal with this. I don't know the legal, like how that all, they're just like, oh no, you have the kid. No, you have the kid,
yeah.
But I don't care. But like either way. And then she says thank you to Amelia, I think.
Yeah, and hugs her.
Yeah, hugs them. I wish she just hugged Amelia, but yeah. She hugs all of them.
I think so it all resolves almost a little too perfectly in the end for that whole storyline, but whatever.
I know. I wish they'd taken Leo.
Yeah. But
it would have been whole less messy. Anyways.
But I thought Amelia made such a good point with Owen about being a foster parent.
She said what we said last week.
Yeah. Like, because
he was having a crazy reaction.
Yeah. And she's like, if you even want to fight for Leo. And he's like, what do you mean? Of course I'm going to fight. And she's like, okay, well, also, like, his grandparents are here. Like,
right.
You are a foster parent. Yes. You have from the beginning said you wanted Leo and Betty to be together.
And I don't think he did.
I don't think he did either.
Yeah. It was like a way for him to like get also a wow. Just like so much with that once their happy little family dissolved.
Wow. Yeah.
Like that's the only reason they were together.
Yep.
And I feel like Owen's not ready to accept that yet, but Amelia like sees it.
So I think it's really interesting because then like Leo comes back into the picture. I think it's really hard to watching Owen look at Teddy at the dinner party and Amelia, like their family has just been torn apart.
I tried to find that whole speech she gave. I wrote some of it down. But
yeah,
sorry,
go ahead.
No, I just thought everything she said was so fucking incredible. She said something like, he said, how many times do I have to choose you, Amelia, to have you stop feeling insecure? And she said, this was among many things. She said, you and I fell in love over children that we loved who we no longer have. Mm-hmm. And she's like, basically like, I'm paraphrasing here. Like, how will you feel when you see your child in Teddy's arms?
Yes.
Like, I think that's such a valid reason. He hasn't even taken a second to think about that. I hated this whole love triangle and I still like, it's whatever, but I do. There are so many parts of it that I'm actually like, not enjoying, but like really appreciating, like Teddy learning about that couple and realizing that her and Owen should just be friends. Like, and like that there is such a thing as that, but I don't think Owen's okay with that. Owen can't do it.
Well, and I think Amelia renaming it as a circle, like it just this cycle of shit keeps happening over and over again. She's not in a triangle.
Right.
She's in a circle and she's going to take herself out of it.
Even Meredith says like, yeah, it was the same with Christina.
Yeah. Like when are you going to, you're just going to have to accept the fact that Teddy is always going to be in
and
his life.
And she doesn't want to accept that and that's okay.
And that's exactly. But then, come out and be like, I don't want to fight. And they're like, okay, let's not fight. And the whole time Amelia is talking, he's watching Teddy through the window. Like, I would be so mad if I was Amelia.
Yeah, Owen is being incredibly crazy.
There were also some really good lines. You know, it can be really complicated when you're in a relationship. Often one of the pitfalls that we do is we use, like, always, never, you know? And Owen ends up telling Amelia, like, you always do something. And then she hits back and he, like, pretty much... He says, I hate that you always say things like this. And he's doing it too. It was just like, but you're also doing that. Like you're always endeavoring me. And
that's such a good therapist in you. But yeah, like also there's the way that he still talks about addiction. Like, and then he was mad that she brought it up again, but I felt like it didn't get resolved when they said it the first time. So, and then he was I am team Tom. Tom is my number one right now on this show. And when he said something like, you are not a father.
Yeah.
He deserved that punch.
Yeah. What the fuck is
and,
that?
That was crazy when they were all yelling and just like, it just wasn't fair. Everything he was accusing of.
Also because Owen doesn't know that Tom had a son, right?
I guess not. Yeah.
But also like, Tom, if Teddy chose to be with Tom in the end, like Tom could be a father to that child, not replacing Owen in any way, but like could be a stepfather.
I don't think it helps that Tom is this like confident, cocky, like he gives those retorts, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like he's so, but at this, like, it doesn't matter. Like Teddy is a free person that can date whoever she wants.
Yeah.
Owen is being very, what's the word? Like, it's mine.
Oh, possessive. Yeah. Possessive.
Yeah.
Which Tom is just being like really cute. And then Owen is super mad that Tom is going to take Teddy on a, like, pretty much a baby moon.
Right. Oh, to Palm Springs.
To Palm Springs, which is like a couple hours away. And Owen's like, well, what if you go into labor? And she's like, there's hospitals there. It's a very short plane ride. Like,
yeah.
And he's like, you can't go. He tells people what they can and cannot do.
Owen is the patriarchy.
He is the patriarchy. Oh my God. He's the patriarchy.
Yeah.
You can't be pregnant and go do those things. You have to sit on your butt.
Well, I date Amelia.
Yeah.
Like, he's just, he's like double standards, which he has not gone to therapy yet.
Yeah.
It's
and
rough.
Then, so they have this big argument. And then at the end of it all, they get Leo back.
I know.
So like, are they going to keep trying to be in a relationship and like mending their family? Because at that point, Amelia had said, like, I'm taking myself out of this.
Right. I hope she still does.
I feel like she has to. I feel like, you know, her whole thing was always like, I'm with Betty. Like, I'm here to help Betty.
Right. That's why I'm living in your house.
Yeah. And Leo's your thing. I feel like
I don't think she's attached to Leo as much as Owen is.
No. And I feel like Owen will like probably be like, we can create a family. And
she's like, nah.
Yeah.
I'm pregnant. When does she sleep with Link?
Yeah. Because that's got to be soon because it's like, is it Link's or is it Owen's?
Yeah. So that's got to be happening soon. Also, Teddy's got to have her baby soon. And then we get the Allison episode.
With the snow?
Like, no, well, learning about why she named, like, isn't that in this season? Maybe that's later.
Oh, I thought it was later.
Oh, it could be. Actually, it could be. But yeah, I don't know. I really do think Tom and Teddy should have stayed together.
Yeah.
But Owen would have never given up. They'd have to move to Germany. Then he'd be fine. The point that Amelia made when she was like 7 months ago, you went to Germany and professed your love. Like, not 7 years, 7 months is such a valid point.
Yeah.
So, Tom is the person you want to date when you're pregnant. He lets you, he's like, okay, we don't have to have sex. Here's a club sandwich with extra bacon. Like, that's what a woman wants to hear. Tom is a feminist.
I know. When he was like, for you, I will get diarrhea.
Yeah. And he's just bringing her food. He gets her a snack and or a drink and just a club soda and crayon.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, Amelia's like, sure, I'll take some.
Yeah. Yeah. And then it was cracking these jokes. I can sense I would be annoyed with a guy like that at a party, but him being like, you've already had enough vodka for the night. And she's like, you know, but in watching it, I'm like, that's funny. You're funny, Tom. But Owen is like so disgusted by it all.
If you're pregnant, who do you want to hang out with? Owen, who's not going to let you walk across the room, or Tom, who like takes you to Palm Springs
and like takes you to get your pedicure.
I think I just want to be schmoozed.
Yeah. I think I want to be with Tom too.
Okay, great. Cause Jackson's like too moody right now for me to be with him. I like his penthouse, but I don't want to go camping really. Like,
no, 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 no.
So anyways, okay, that is all great. I just wanted to hit on really fast. We talk about in rounds, but I think that was a really sweet patient storyline with the woman who has a husband and a best friend, and that the husband and the best friend have an understanding. At first, I really did think it was a throuple, and I was like, oh, nice. We're bringing like non-monogamy into this, or polyamory, like into the story. That's cool. But it wasn't, and that's still fine too. I thought it was like lovely when the men hugged and when he said, you know, like, it's just acceptance. Like, they're just friends. Like, they're not going to sully it with sex and whatever.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I thought it was really nice too. But it is interesting to watch like Tom's reaction to like Teddy's reaction, and he gets kind of put off by it all, you know?
Yeah.
And so
he doesn't want Owen in his life.
No, nobody does.
I felt bad for Tom when Teddy goes and she talks about like being a friend, and he's like, you could have just left this with the hotel lobby. Like, this is not a come to my room, tell me thing.
Yeah.
Wait, just because is your thing still recording? I just always worry.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Listeners, I was too good to be true.
Still going.
Okay, good. Do you want to talk about Maggie Jackson?
I just want to quickly talk about how Billy Boyd was in this. He's Pippin from Lord of the Rings.
Okay, so he rides in the trees.
Yeah. Yeah, he's...
Okay.
Yeah,
but
he's the one who
sings.
But he's not
the guy that was also on Lost.
No, that's Dominic. That's Mary.
Were Pippin and Mary together?
Yes.
Were they the ones in the trees?
Yes.
and they look alike.
Yes.
Which is why I was so confused.
Yeah. Okay. But like, yeah.
He was great. Also, I think I don't even have to read notes in trivia. I remember that episode. Owen is obviously, or real life, not Owen. Kevin McKidd is Scottish.
Yeah.
And he directed this. And I believe that like he plays bag, like there's something.
There's a connection with that.
Yeah, I did. I felt very, I told Brie, I was like, this episode sucks, but I'm very emotional because of the bagpipes.
I feel like when they were like playing the bagpipes and like Owen came out and stuff and everyone was just watching Incredible, the first time when all of them were playing, yeah. Not the last one. It was like one of those moments where I felt embarrassed. I was like, stop.
What about the last
this?
One, though?
The last one was nice. But you know where, like, and then Crab's like, stop. But you know what Grace does that sometimes? We're like, we have to let a scene go by. Yeah. And like.
Yeah. No, that was a lot. It was a little close to home, like the parade thing with like what happened in Waukesha last year. Like, it felt, like, everything felt too real.
Yeah.
Really quick. Well, no, we haven't gotten to this yet. I'll get there later. But yeah, I don't know. I didn't have a lot to say other than, yes, Lord of the Rings. I saw your note about that. And
that's it. That's all I wanted to say.
I like the sound of bagpipes.
I do too.
It definitely triggered Owen into being like, my son. That's like what that was for, I feel like, with Leo. Because that kid was crying, or the guy was crying over his son, and then Owen was having a weird moment and had to leave.
You're right. That makes a lot of
sense. I gotta go to the daycare.
You're right. That makes a lot of sense.
Should talk about the party, Maggie Jackson.
Yeah, Maggie's outfit.
Oh, stunning. The green outfit.
Stunning.
She is stunning in everything lately. Yes. Like, she's really come into her own.
Yeah. She was killing me at the party with the Kiki thing and opening bottles of wine and being pissed off and like.
She wanted to start a fire.
Storming around.
We'll talk about that in the post-op. But
yeah.
Yeah. She also, like, Jackson is, they should not go camping. She does not want to.
No. She doesn't.
Him being like, that's why the toilet paper, like, it's kind of nice. I don't know. It's just like.
Well, and this is what leads to the fog episode, right?
It's got to be.
Yeah.
Well, their camping trip was delayed.
And like, clearly, I mean, I think you can definitely have things like there's things that my husband does that he likes and I don't really participate in them, you know? And like, there's things like this podcast that he doesn't participate in, you know, but like. You have to be able to tell each other those things.
Jackson didn't even warn her that it was a camping trip. He was like, I thought you realized that this place we were going.
Yeah. I feel like you definitely have to tell someone you're going camping.
Right. It's not just like, we're going a weekend away here. Yeah. If you told me Traverse City, I'm going to assume we're staying in a hotel.
Yeah, but we could be camping.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. So that's fucked up.
Did Marge just sitting on a chair over there?
She's being wild and ridiculous. Okay. Let's talk about this Chief thing. Why are the Chief's photos in a cafeteria? Answer me that. Riddle me that.
I don't know. But I hated the moment. Okay. Oh. So Joe and Alex are looking at them. And Joe says something about like, when you grew up in foster homes and you were keeping your siblings alive, did you think that something? I was like, that's too much. Why are you reminding him of that right now? Like, that is just like, no.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah. I did love
his
Alex.
Smile.
Yeah. It looked good in the photo. I wish they'd put a bad smile in the photo. That would have made more sense.
Yeah, but when he smiles, like,
he is
next,
so awkward.
Oh my gosh, it's so funny. And it's so funny to me, like, having your photo taken next to a photo of you.
Yeah. That, like, him doing that, and then also, like, him at Jackson's house being like, oh, hot dogs, or whatever it was that he was excited.
No, he was like, ping pong.
Yeah, like, he is a frat boy.
Yeah. Oh, they got ping pong. Which was really funny. I'm really proud of him that he told Bailey, like, hey, we signed a 6-month contract. In the beginning, I was doing a really poor job.
He likes the money.
Yeah. But also, he's like, I'm also doing a good job.
Yeah.
I think he likes, that was, the second thing he said was like, I like the extra money. But I think he also likes the job and knows he's doing it well.
He's doing luncheons for the interns because it boosts morale.
Yeah.
I also like that he said the thing about like, Weber told me to kick ass at this. And Bailey's like, what did he say? like Bailey's like offended that. But I was glad that Bailey, she was mad, but she also was like, I didn't think you'd survive your intern year. Like,
yeah.
So
good for you, Krev.
Yeah. Like, she's pissed, but she's like, oh, fuck it, whatever.
I thought there was, going back to a previous round, but it does have to do with Krev. I thought it was a good, like, story with the mom who comes in and she is looking for her son. And
that was interesting.
And then Joe ends up telling the husband, like, your wife needs help. Like, she has an addiction. And Karev was like, protect your child. Like, they had two separate responses.
He was being little Alex.
Was being little Alex. And she and Joe understood it.
Yeah.
I was really happy that Joe came to him and was like, you were 3 years old, like when, and he was like, I was six. I wish I was three because I wouldn't remember it.
Right.
And it was a bar parking lot. Like, and I
is it his dad?
It was his dad.
Okay.
Yeah. And I just love that, like, Joe doesn't push back of like, this wife needs help. Right. She just like understands where Alex is coming from.
Yes, I agree 100%. I also, I remember feeling dramatic about it when the guy is like, is that woman okay? I saw her pass out on the bench with all of them. And I was like, oh God. Oh,
no.
That man was so lovely.
I know.
His foot was so big.
Oh, I know.
Poor Kadri. Just
doing Kadri. I love Kadri face.
Anyone get face?
Yeah.
That would be me.
Yeah.
Because I cannot handle pus.
Yeah.
Unless it's like no. coming. You ever like.
Stop.
Do you ever get like slight satisfaction if it's your own though? And you're like, oh yeah, I got it out.
Yeah. I think everyone
but
likes
I don't want
to pick
anyone
their
else's.
Things.
No one else's.
Yeah.
But yeah, I felt really, again, I feel like it was like driving home a storyline of like, there are not enough places. There are not enough shelters.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't.
He brings up like the rent thing also.
Jackson end up doing something about that? Or is that during COVID?
And it seems like he might do something.
Doesn't
I'm
he like
sure.
get, buy a hotel?
Oh, that's during COVID.
That's during COVID. Okay.
He like books a whole hotel for people. I couldn't figure out how I felt about him giving away his camping gear. Like, obviously it's better than doing nothing. It's still like the way that guy was like, he says something about like, yeah, I know what it's like to have too many material things. Like he like sort of shot it back at Jackson. And I was glad because I think sometimes Jackson forgets like that he is.
Of
Don't talk about that in front of patients.
Yeah. Yeah, that is true.
Number one, like it's fine if you're that way. But like Maggie came in, she's like, I need to talk to you. And they stepped 1 foot away from the patient's
Yeah,
bed.
You're right. That was extremely inappropriate.
It was sad for him.
It was a poor teaching moment for Kadri. He should have been like, I will step out.
Yeah.
Inappropriate. Inappropriate, Jackson. Wow.
That poor guy was like, you have all this in your trunk. Oh, yeah. The thing that he repeated back to Jackson, he goes, makes you realize all the things you don't need. Because Jackson's like romanticizing. We're going camping with like not a lot of things.
And it's this like,
poor dude.
Who's sleeping
lives
on
in
a,
the park.
Yeah.
But he saved that little boy.
There was one other thing. Oh, we should talk about Krev's mom.
Oh, yeah. At the party. I was going to say, then we can round out into like the party things.
Yeah.
Okay. So at first, I remember thinking this and I was confused. Like, is she doing well? Is she not? I still am like unsure, I feel like. But Alex being happy about the fire.
So funny.
Made it worth it because that is, it's a fire, a real fire. And everyone's freaking out. He's like so excited.
Because like when she's like, it's like rubber shoes that you, and she's kind of speaking in weird riddles. And he's like, oh God. It reminded me when he's like, bats. Oh no.
Yeah. He's afraid it's bats again.
Like, yeah, but she just smelled fire. It's
she
a
just
real
smelled fire. Smoke, and that's what she was trying it's to say.
And it was plastic. It was burning plastic.
Oh.
That's why she's like burning rubber.
Alex is so happy.
It's well, I love too that like Joe finds her and is like takes her with and then just keeps trying to call Alex. Like, what a good like partner.
Yeah, she did. Yeah, she
she's
did
being
great.
Like Mrs. Karev. Like,
yeah, she did great. Helm should have been a little bit more specific.
Yeah.
And then I know you had this in your notes too. Him introducing his mom, Helen, to Meredith was a top moment for me. Like, that was really, that felt like a reward.
Yeah. And when the way Meredith responds, like, Helen, like, she knows all about her and like, he's my best friend.
She says, Meredith, you're Alex's best friend. And she goes, and I am, and he's mine.
I know.
It was really lovely.
And it's very brief. It's just that quick little scene.
Well, and then Alex is like, there's shit in my eyes. We gotta go. Because he's clearly feeling emotional.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was special. I need more moments like that.
Yeah, that was really, really.
And the reason, okay, I'm going to go on a quick, tiny little TED talk. The reason that that moment is so good is because it's a payoff of years.
Yeah.
Of like, of Meredith knowing about his mom and of like them being friends. It's 15 seasons of them being friends. So that's why that little moment pays off. I like, we need more of that. I need things that like are 15 years in the making.
Yeah. I think that's hard to do. But I think that goes back to what we were talking about last week, where like, during Catherine's surgery, they're trying to create this really special moment with a song, but it's not a payoff because we've never even heard of this before.
Right.
So, yeah. I'm going to say something. I mean, I know we're not rating the episodes yet, If I had to rate these one by one, I would rate the party episode a 10 out of 10. I had so much fun watching. I thought everyone in that episode was fucking hilarious.
Oh, that's like, fun. Yeah.
Every storyline was so funny to me. Catherine was cracking me up.
Catherine and Bailey in the limo.
Hilarious.
Was the best part of the whole thing.
Maggie was cracking me up. Richard had all these one-liners. Like, and then we had the drama of like Amelia and Owen.
Boki has her line where she looks to her husband, I assume, and says he loves her.
Yeah.
That was special.
Like Meredith and DeLuca like almost burned the place down. Yeah. Krebs being hilarious. Like
Mara's wearing a great outfit.
I literally thought everyone was like, it was one of those episodes. I feel like sometimes when we're outside of the hospital, we can be like, ugh, I don't like that episode.
But this was a good
one. And that's why I made note of it in my head. Like, this is one of those times that I think it really worked.
Yes. I love to, with Catherine and Bailey in the limo, like at first Bailey's all excited. She's like, you should have led with limo. Yeah. And they go, because they've never hung out. I mean, that's Richard's work wife and real wife.
Yeah.
And then also I feel like Bailey and Adele never had a relationship.
Right.
Because Adele was always jealous, I feel like. And yeah. Like, weird, but this is like lovely. And then when she's describing the blender, that's incredible. I thought it was a car at first.
And then she's like, bought it.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, the way she calls Catherine out and says, easy come, easy go when it comes to money, but you're afraid to spend joy. You think you're going to run out of it.
Oh,
that was a great—
foreboding joy, man.
Yeah, that was a really lovely, like, just nugget for life in general. And she brings her back to the party. And then I love when Bailey's mad that the limo leaves without her. She's like, I guess I need a ride. Yeah. And Ben's in his hot fire uniform.
Yeah, that was great.
And I love them all eating burgers in the limo.
I did too. I thought that, and what made me kind of sad because Maggie and Jackson end up breaking up.
But I would have liked them staying together for that aspect.
Yeah. There, I have like Richard saying these egg rolls are going like hotcakes. Just lines left and right that were killing me. Like the Tom, like for you, I will get diarrhea. And then Jackson saying, I don't have a panic room. And someone said, not smart to announce that.
Everything tastes better in the back of a limousine.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a good episode. You're very
Richard
right.
Walking in on Marin DeLuca, and then
she goes, Alex like, knows.
Yeah, and then Richard says, wonderful.
Yeah, that was great. It was good.
Yeah, I really, really loved it. I know.
Also, my
but notes, what's going to happen with Andrea's dad coming back?
With who? Oh, yeah, I don't know. I wrote, this is one of my notes. It says, Alex's mom is freaking out about a fire. She's not wrong.
She is not wrong about that.
Oh, when Tom put his hand in a bucket of ice and he goes, $1 million hand, go on. Like that was good too.
Yeah. There were so many parts that were just so great in that episode.
My dad also on a family Christmas one year put,
oh, I remember this.
Yeah. It was like a cooking sheet, but it had a thing on it still. Something yeah. I can't.
Like
it had
lid
plastic
yeah.
on it. And it like melted into the oven and almost caused like a huge fire.
And it was, you were renting the house.
It was an Airbnb.
Yeah.
And so we like it. Oh, the plastic melted all over the grate.
Yeah.
And so when we pulled it out, it like solidified and then we couldn't get it off. And I like tried to like chisel it off and the Airbnb guy, it was like a millionaire, huge giant house.
He probably didn't give a shit.
Yeah. But I thought we were going to burn the house down. The penthouse.
You went through it as well.
Like, it was like, everything's fine except the penthouse. I want to fucking live in a penthouse.
I know. And have fireplaces in your guest rooms.
The guest room. Like, oh, excuse me. Would you like to stay in my guest room as a fireplace?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So that's all I have.
Yeah, same. Let's do notes and trivia.
Cool.
This episode's title originated from the song I Walk the Line, originally sung by Johnny Cash.
It scored 6.58 million viewers.
As of this episode, all actors portraying the recurring interns are credited as guest stars. Up until this episode, J.C. Elliott and Alex Blue Davis were credited as co-stars.
Writer Jason Genzel appears at the barista who serves Meredith and Andrew's coffees in the beginning of the episode.
Editor Chad Mokry appears as the member of the Scottish Pipe Band.
Owen's line, while I think it's a beautiful instrument, is a nod to Kevin McKidd's Scottish heritage.
Next one, this episode's title originated from the song I Want a New Drug, originally sung by Huey Lewis.
It scored 6.89 million viewers.
Meredith breaking a hospital record is a nod to Grey's Anatomy, tying the episode count of ER. Oh, that's fun. The now formerly longest running American medical drama with 331 episodes. This is also reflected in the new time at which Meredith breaks her record, being 3:32 p.m. That's cool.
That's fun. This episode was followed by a PSA from Caterina Scorsone about drug use.
Well, she has been on the show since the beginning and has appeared in almost every episode. This marks the first time that Kathy C. Ahn is credited for playing Nurse Bokey. This is the first time she's fucking credited?
Wow. Ugh. Goof. Andrew states that by performing record-breaking surgery of 27 hours and 8 minutes, Meredith has broken the previous record by over 3 hours. However, Derek's surgery on Isaac and Give Peace a Chance was shown to take at least 26 hours, the final duration of the surgery being unknown.
This episode's title originated from the song We Didn't Start the Fire, originally sung by Billy Joel.
Scored 6.99 million viewers.
Teddy is 7 months pregnant in this episode.
This episode makes Grey's Anatomy the longest running American primetime medical drama, officially surpassing ER, which ran for 331 episodes.
This episode contains no medical cases on screen, although Joe mentions some patient of hers.
Goof. Despite Catherine claiming several times in the episode that she didn't want a party and the winner takes it all, she is the one who has... Who planned the party.
It's true. She did. My Catherine Fox is going to Amelia.
Love it.
I'm happy if you change that, but that's who I
was. No, I think that's great. I think Amelia really deserves it through each episode, honestly.
So if we're doing a 10 for the last one, which I kind of agree, it was very fun.
Yeah, it was a really fun episode to watch.
Maybe an 8, because I'd probably give the others a 6 or 7.
Yeah, I feel good about an 8.
Okay, great. All right, Grey's Babies, thank you so much for listening. If you are a patron, make sure you keep listening after Time of Death for our post-op where we talk about Maggie and her colleague. And if you are not a patron, you can get one and listen to all of the... listen to all of the previous post-ops. So Time of Death today is... What do I add? 1923. Beep. Oh, God. Beep.